I'm going to start with reading an excerpt from an article from the BBC. Not necessarily your most trustworthy source of news, it must be said, but this, I think, was quite helpful and sets the scene for what we're talking about. We are surrounded by an invisible killer. One so common we barely notice it shortening our lives. It's causing heart attacks, type 2 diabetes, and studies now even link it to dementia. It is a public health crisis. We've got huge numbers of people exposed in their everyday life, says Professor Charlotte Clark from the University of London. It's a crisis we don't talk about. What do you think it could be? The answer is noise. And its impact on the human body go beyond damaging hearing. There's really good evidence that traffic noise affects your heart health, says Professor Clark. You have an emotional response to sound. Sound is detected by the ear and passed onto the brain, and one region, the amygdala, performs the emotional assessment. This is part of the body's fight or flight response that helps us react quickly to the sounds like a predator crashing through the bushes. So your heart rate goes up, your nervous system starts to kick in, and you release stress hormones. All of this is good in an emergency, but over time it starts to cause damage. If you're exposed for several years, your body is reacting like that all the time. It increases your risk of developing things like heart attacks, high blood pressure, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, says Professor Clark. Insidiously, this even happens while we're fast asleep. We are continuing the series on spiritual practices, and today I want to look at becoming a community of peace in a culture of noise and anxiety. We are tethered, it seems, almost to noise, to distraction. There's always stuff going on around us. Even if you're out away, maybe in your home, away from any traffic noise, we still have phones pinging at us, there's radios, TVs. The whole time we're surrounded by noise. Even when we are alone, we're not away from the noise and the anxiety of the world around us. So a quick recap. We're looking at these spiritual practices as part of our apprenticeship under Jesus. An apprenticeship where we be. We be with Jesus, we spend time with him, and in being with him, we become like him. And in becoming like him, ultimately we will start to think the way he thinks, to do the things that he would do. We talked about transformation, how we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that there are things that we can do, the people that surround us, the narratives we listen to, the teachings we hear, all affect us. And through them all, the Holy Spirit works in us over time, and also suffering affects us too. We started off looking at the practice of Sabbath, the importance of taking time to stop and to rest, and to give time focused to the Lord. We talked about the importance of prayer, taking time to talk with God. Last week we spoke about fasting. Fasting, in a sense, bodily prayer, whereby I lay aside my own wants, my own desires, and focus on him. So is there a practice that will position us to hear Jesus in the noisy world that we live in today? Let's have a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Actually, I think I've got it on the slide here. Luke 5, 16. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He got away by himself to be with the Father. So this morning, I just want to touch on the process of being transformed to be like Jesus through the practice of solitude. When you hear the word solitude, what do you think of? There are many things that are maybe similar, but they're not the same. The Greek word in that Luke 5 passage literally means solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited, an uncultivated region, a wilderness. It's something where people aren't. And we think about places like that, and we might say, they're isolated, they're lonely. And while there is some overlap between those thoughts, solitude is not loneliness. How many of you know, maybe you've experienced a real sense of loneliness in the middle of a crowd? Solitude and loneliness are very different, because loneliness is an inner emptiness. Loneliness is something that's inside us. Isolation, again, similar, but isolation, when we think about our heart, we can isolate ourselves from people. We can still be in a crowd, we can still be with a group of people, but we can be isolated because we pull ourselves away from them. Isolation is, in a sense, a movement away from relationship. Aloneness is physically being by yourself, but you know, you can be physically by yourself but still very much engaged with other people, particularly in the world of social media. For me, when I'm working at the hospital, I only go into the office one day a week usually. The rest of the time I'm in my office at home alone, but very much engaged on what's going on. I'm on video calls. I've got chat messages going on with people who are also working at home or working in other offices on site. I'm alone, but I'm not in solitude. Solitude is not a spiritual practice for introverts. And to confuse it with a preference for wanting to be by yourself is a big mistake. Solitude can be just as difficult for introverts as it can be for extroverts. I think it's fair to say that Jesus considered solitude important. You think about how busy he was, how many demands on his time there were. And yet we read Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place to pray. Jesus knew that he needed that time away from his ministry, time away from other people, to spend time with his Father. Luke chapter 4, verse 42. At daybreak, Luke says, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. He made it part of his regular practice to get away out to the garden, to the Mount of Olives, to have time alone. It was important for Jesus to get away and spend time with the Father. How much more so for us? Solitude comes with its with two companions, stillness and silence. When you're alone, you can be there and still be doing lots of things. You're planning and thinking and doing. You can be, I don't know, whatever it is you do during the day. But if you're doing and you're focusing on what you're doing and you're thinking about what you're doing, you're not bringing your mind to stillness, to silence. Silence can be both exterior. We heard about the noise of the traffic and just the noise of the world around us, but silence can be internal as well. Your thoughts racing. Solitude is intentional time in the quiet with ourselves and with God. Whilst there is no command in Scripture that says you must go into solitude, I would suggest it's part of the invitation that Jesus gives us to follow him. Follow me, do what I do. Follow me and be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. Some of you may know the name of Henry Nguyen, who was a Dutch Catholic priest and a theologian. And he described solitude as the place of encounter. In the next few minutes, I just want to briefly touch on three encounters that we have when we go into solitude. I don't know if any of you recognize that rocky, craggy outcrop. You might recognize it from one of the Star Wars movies. A couple of the Star Wars movies, I think, had some filming done on there. But beyond that, its name is Skellig Michael. It's just off the southwest coast of Ireland, looking out into the ocean, and it takes a beating from the wind and the waves when the seas pick up. On that island, there was, in about the 6th century it was, I think, 6th century to about the 12th century, there was a monastery there, which maybe up to about a dozen monks lived there at any one time. Talk about isolation. Talk about solitude. It gets its name, Skellig Michael, because it's said that the Archangel Michael helped St. Patrick to overcome the devil in some way. And the monks would go there to get away from the busyness of the world that they were living in. They would encounter themselves. They would encounter their enemy, and they would encounter their God. When we go to a lonely, desolate place like that, the first voices we tend to hear are the voices that we have suppressed. Our exhaustions, our fears, our sadness, our anger, our shame. Things that we easily try and distract ourselves from, and that just the busyness of life distracts us from, that we never really deal with them. And in solitude, they all begin to rise to the surface because there's nothing else clamoring for our attention. And in solitude, we encounter our pain. Matthew 26, verse 36 to 39. we find here that Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus began to feel sorrowful. He goes to the place of his pain, and in his pain, he meets with God. We must not suppress our pain. We need to go to the place of pain, because only in doing that can we be healed. Jesus goes to the place of pain. He meets God, the Father, and he gives him his feelings. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed. Tell it like it is. This is what I'm feeling." He says, "If it is possible, what do you want? If it is possible, let this be taken away from me." He gives God his feelings. He gives God his desires. But he says, "I give you my trust. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." Whatever comes to the surface as we go into the place of solitude, we don't need to be afraid of it. We are not our feelings, but as we give our feelings to God and we give our trust to him, we can meet him there. We encounter our enemy. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, we read last week, just talking about Jesus going into the place of fasting. Jesus was led into the wilderness, the solitary place, the lonely place, the place away from everything. He was led there by the Spirit. And after 40 days, the devil came to him. And there is a sense in which 40 days alone with the Father, Jesus was his strongest. It says, coming out the end of that, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. 40 days with God. Solitude, time with God, is a time for us to be strengthened, where we can do battle with the enemy, where we can stand against the enemy, because we are standing with our God. Finally, we encounter God. Mark chapter 1, 32 to 39. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." There is a sense that Jesus is so busy in his ministry. He goes from ministry to the solitary place. And in that solitary place of meeting with God, he's given direction, he's given the details, if you like, of what he needs to do next. I've come to go and do. And it's important that we understand that solitude isn't just a continual place where we spend our entire life. We spend our entire life in solitude. No. Solitude is a place where we rest and then we return to life. We rest and we return to our ministry. We rest, we spend time with the Father, and we go back to the world that needs us. A chap called James Hostin talked about wasting time on God. We can be so busy and have so much to do. Lord, I'm too busy. But he said, we need to waste time. In a sense, we're not doing anything productive. It's quite the opposite. We're stopping. It's like Sabbath. We're ceasing. We're doing nothing productive. He's not saying it is a waste of time to do it, but it just kind of, it looks like I'm not doing anything. I'm not being productive. I'm wasting time on God. I'm spending time with him because actually I'm rejuvenated. He gives me a sense of direction and he empowers me going forward. Mother Teresa said, we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. In seeking God, we find who we were created to be. In seeking God, we position ourselves to say yes to his call and not to the demands that others place on us. We position ourselves to hear what God wants to say to us rather than what everybody else wants to say to us. We position ourselves to know God's direction, God's will, not everybody else's will. We need to learn to listen to the still, small voice. You have no doubt been in places where there is a lot of noise and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody. And you're bellowing in their ear and they still can't hear what you're saying. We need to be in the place where we can hear the voice of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, I guess, will be familiar to us all. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, a gentle stillness, sometimes translated. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. There's a lot of noise around us, but we need to make solitude part of our life, that we can retreat away from the world, from the noise of life, spend time in the presence of our God and Father. Why do we embrace solitude? So that we can be a community of peace in a culture of noise and anxiety. What are my most common distractions? When I'm looking to spend time in solitude, I need to get rid of those. Am I prepared to deal with my deepest pains? Because in solitude, they will come to the surface. as we spend time alone in the quiet, those pains will rise. Am I prepared to offer them to God? Or, because sometimes we can hold on to our pains and they almost become something of our identity. We identify ourselves by what we suffered. We can identify ourselves by what we think or what's happened to us. No. My identity is in Christ. Should be in Christ. How I see myself should be in Christ. Am I prepared to deal with those pains? And how can I integrate solitude into my life? We spoke, I think, before about fasting. But we can have different rhythms. Maybe a sense of daily solitude, or weekly, or annually. I know of some people that every year they will take a few days to go away by themselves, just to complete solitude. But that's not it. It's combined with a daily time of stillness and silence, day by day. How can I build it into my life that I can know God? Time is gone and we've barely scratched the surface, but yeah, can we just take a moment in silence? And say, Lord, you see my heart. What do you want to say to me?